Dr. Alan Leica here, and I'd like to welcome you to How to Live a Fantastic Life Show, where we will be discussing the important aspects of your life. We hope to inspire you to live the best life you can. Get out of your comfort zone and explore the awesome world around you. Break through your barriers. Take inspired action. Use the difficulties in your life to achieve the best version of you. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest today. His name is Daryl Tanner, and he has worked with young adults and 30 to 40 co-ed singles for many years and wrote a book called Great Expectations Today to help in dealing with issues individuals face over and over in life. Daryl has worked in sales for over 40 years and transitioned some of his life stories into this book to help everyone live a happier and more fulfilled life. There are several chapters in this book that we're going to refer to because I think they can help others in their situations. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got to writing this book today.
Well, I was working, use the term counseling loosely, but I was working with groups of 30 to 40 co-eds to try to get them to be more, talk amongst themselves and grow internally at our church. And quite frankly, a lot of them were struggling with day-to-day living from the expectation that, hey, I went somewhere or I met someone and everything went bust. It was a failure. And they're so disappointed. And we'd go over these issues over and over and over, but they kept coming back up. I would say, well, why did it fail? And, well, I just thought that these things would happen. And I really, in my mind, I thought this would be a great person, or I thought this would be a great event. And just their expectations were so high in working with these groups of singles, again, 30 or 40, mixed women and men, there were just a lot of issues they were dealing with that they felt made their life fairly miserable.
You know, I think people have high expectations about several events, but I think a lot of it, their failure stems down to personal issues. Is that not right, Daryl?
That's correct for the most part. But, you know, as we all grow and get older, from the minute that we're playing little league or volleyball or in a spelling bee, whatever, we're always pushed. I think it's just human nature to push everyone to say, like my mom used to say, oh, you know, you made a C. I just know you can do so much better. And so we all set these expectations. You know, look at Tony Robbins and some of the, you know, cultures that we jump on that propel us more and more to say, wow, this is good. I'm going to do great here. This is me. I met this guy or I met this girl and she's great. And you just keep building it up in your mind where in the end, if something goes wrong, you're like, how did that happen? What a bummer. That's, you know, and then you're in a state of depression.
For sure. Now, in your book, you have a chapter on post-traumatic stress disorder. Tell us a little bit about your views on that.
Well, I live in San Antonio. They call it Military City. I've witnessed a lot of PTSD issues coming from, if you read any of the books on PTSD, it's where people are engaged in combat and they're constantly going into the field and they're defending themselves and, you know, they're fighting on behalf of our country, but they come back with a lot of stress from that's impact them later in life. And in certain cases, they explode with anger over this traumatic buildup that's on their mind from could be many years ago. My dad had a bad case of PTSD and from World War II, and he was very explosive. But the people that I've seen here in San Antonio, it impacts their marriage, it impacts their life, their work life, their traffic. We see a lot of road rage here. In the book, I talk about a couple stories where, I've learned that if you're in that situation and you're facing something like that, the best thing to do is just to back down and basically try to be as neutral as possible, because that person is exploding over something. And it's not just in anger. Sometimes it's where those people will cower and they'll just go into, weeping and crying mercifully that, they just can't handle life because of this PTSD. And, that was one of the things that I was telling a lot of my groups, because a lot of them are former, military people. They're like, I don't know how to deal with this. And some of that has to do with expectations. Some of that has to do with how to manage their anger. And I put some chapters in the back of the book on anger management also.
Well, let's talk about that anger management, because that's another thing that seems to be at the forefront. You know, I think a lot of people, having gone through COVID, are going through a post-traumatic stress disorder in that way. And they're reacting in difficult ways. They're going through anger. They're going through denial. They're going through depression. And this all seems to be coming still now, and seems to be getting worse for some people.
Yes, exactly. I think one thing we need to realize in life is that we were made to be in relationship with people. We were made to, talk with people and live with people, and to send anyone, especially if they don't have a spouse, to send them to just all of a sudden say, well, you gotta, there's nothing going on. There's no activities, no social activities. You need to stay. That's terrible. So, the part of the chapter where I talk about several chapters devoted to getting angry is how to manage that anger. And I asked a few questions to the person that has continual anger is number one, do I enjoy getting angry? Ask yourself that question. Do I enjoy getting angry? Number two, does when I get angry, does it produce the intended results? In other words, does that make your situation any better? Could I get the same results in a more effective way? In other words, if I didn't get angry, could I get the same results? How would I be different in controlling my anger? Because there are people all around you that know you explode, know how you are. They are walking on eggshells. How would they be different if you could control your anger? How much more loving could they be, or, not have the excuses? And then the last question I ask is, how would my life be different in controlling my anger? So I have a lot of people in talking to these groups, they're medicated. They're taking some type of blood pressure medicine, some type of antidepressant, some type of, CBD over the counter, non-prescribed CBD type product to just keep them on an even keel. And so my question to them is, how would you be different if you could just control your anger without medicine, without medication? You'd have a lower blood pressure. You'd have a better sense of life. You might be able to set better expectations and in turn help control your anger.
What are your ideas of controlling anger and post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, when a lot of it is a root cause that's buried deep within us. It has to do with, when you're rushing out to go somewhere, you're just thinking, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to do these things. And you've set all these expectations high on the shelf. And what's the first thing you do? Well, typically when I leave my house, I run into traffic, which most of us do. Secondly, I might be stuck in a ticket line if I'm going to a movie or whatever, with several people in front of me. But if we could just set the right expectations to, instead of this lofty idea that I'm going to leave, you know, you're not even thinking, I'm not going to have any traffic. You're not thinking about the traffic. You're not thinking of what line could be. So leave a little earlier. No, hey, there is probably going to be some traffic. What time of the day is it? There's probably going to be a line at the movie theater. It's a popular movie. Probably going to be a line at the food, you know, get popcorn and a drink. You know, how will my seat be at the theater? I've seen so many people explode in traffic, explode in a ticket line, explode in a food line, start yelling about their seat in the theater. It's incredible how people can react sometimes to things that nobody can control. I think if more people would realize that life is not a control. We don't control many things in our life. Like I fly a lot. I go to the airport. I expect traffic. I expect people at the ticket counter. I even have a clear pass. But some days that clear line is not moving as fast as you would think it would. Big deal. Okay. I get to the plane. The plane may not be there. Or get to the gate. The plane may not be there. The plane may not take off on time based on weather. We don't control any of that. You know, we just have to realize, if we could better realize that we don't have control to make it the perfect world that we believe it should be, we would realize that, you know, I need to be more patient. Why should I get angry at these things? I don't have control. Now, if you could control them, maybe you could have a little more expectation and get a little upset with yourself for not delivering. But getting mad at other people, whether it's on the road or food service or whatever, you know, we just need to set better expectations. And if someone's dealing with PTSD, it's even more important that they do that, comparative to where they've been and what they've done.
Now, many of your ideas came from your background growing up. Can you give us some examples that have helped you along the way?
Well, I guess probably most of my examples were, you know, looking back at my childhood. We lived way out on a farm and not too many kids around me. So when I wanted to get out and go somewhere, it was usually I was so excited to leave and go to like Little League practice, which was a good drive. And I would get in the car, we'd get down there and the game might be canceled. Weather might come up. Anything could happen that would stall the game. And I just remember how terrible I felt. And then as I got older and I started flying, I flew with several people. And I talked with one of the stories in the book about this guy that was he was a top of the line Delta flyer, and he would always get so upset when we were late. As soon as they'd make the first announcement, the plane is going to be 15 minutes late. He'd go, oh, there we go. There's our schedule. And he would start screaming and yelling. And I was like, wait, slow down. It's just the first announcement. He goes, there's going to be another one. I know there's going to be another one, and they're going to cancel our flight. And he'd start yelling. I'm like, he's so crazy. And that's why I started thinking, man, this guy flies all the time. Why does he have such high expectations of Delta? You know, So anyway, it snowballed, and I just see people like that everywhere. And I almost have to laugh about it. But on the other hand, I feel for them, because it's a tough way to go through life if your expectations are always just so high. I mean, the people in my group, the girls would get, or the ladies would get really upset when they'd meet someone and it would end. The guys would get so upset when they would, thought they met the right girl and then it would end. It's in all parts of our life that, you know, that's why I thought it was so important to write about it. I think it just impacts every part of your life. You could live a much happier life if you knew more about, or if you understood more about expectations and what you're doing to yourself.
Exactly. I think that is the key. Expectations shape our reality, and the actions we take on those expectations form our reality.
Yes, correct.
And those are the actions. So what action should people be taking when they have false realities in their mind?
Well, I think you have to set back and say, where have I done this before? Where has this failed me before? If you're living in a negative lifestyle where you're just so down on yourself and what's happened in your life, you need to look back and say, have I set the wrong expectations? Have I followed the wrong course of action? I'm going to this party. It's probably going to be a good party. You know, I might meet someone here. I might not. What I look to get out of this party? Am I just going for a social function and have a good time? Or, you know, so set that in your mind. Make a realistic expectation that I'm going to leave early, get to the party early, or I'll get to the party a little late, but I'll make two contacts that, you know, might turn into something. Just don't have an over expectation that I'm going to meet someone great there. I'm going to get these things done. And, you know, it's not a realistic expectation because you're going to a party. Who knows what's going to happen?
Exactly. Well, Daryl, this show is called the How to Live a Fantastic Life Show. How do you live a fantastic life in view of all the things that you've gone through?
Well, I definitely try to set the right expectations. I will say that I am a strong believer in the Christian faith. And matter of fact, these groups that I counsel, they're in Bible study. They come together to get to know each other and study more. I think that as we learn and as we set the proper expectations, we can have a much happier life. I think one of the big things that I talk to everybody about in the groups, and now I've got like 12 groups, and there's probably 10 to 20 people in each group. So there's a lot of 30 or 40 singles, but the biggest questions they have is before and after the holidays. It's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, it's Easter. Whenever they got to get around family, it's, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, this is such a, and some of them are very anxious and nervous about it. And some of them are very disappointed that they've got to go. And so we talk about setting the right expectations and setting boundaries around those expectations. And I list a few books in my book where I try to help people point them to the right resources to read up on, you know, living a happier life. And, you know, I think that's all the more important to set those the right expectations for any scenario that you're dealing with.
Exactly. How do you recommend others live fantastic lives?
Well, I think it's very key to have relationships in life. I think we're all built to have relationships. The COVID thing to me, I just felt for so many young people because they were, you know, basically locked away from social interaction. I would recommend you have a strong team of people around you. Whether you're in a book club, you're in a Bible study, you're in a prayer group, it doesn't matter. You need that interaction and make it a positive interaction. Don't let people bring you down to their expectations. You need to really focus on, your positive nature and the correct expectations. Don't let other people set expectations for you. You need to set your own realistic expectations.
Errol, if you met a younger version of yourself on the street, what advice would you give that younger version?
Well, I'd say a couple of things. I would say, don't be so anxious. other people's opinion of you is none of your business. In other words, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I just need to do me. That was always a big thing for me. As a younger me was very concerned about what people thought of what I was doing. And and believe me, it doesn't matter as you get, especially as you get older. Thirdly, take life as it comes. Set your proper expectations, but make them realistic. Those would be pretty much my top three things.
That's important. And I think those are important for everybody. Learning to get along despite people's views of you is pretty important, because if you don't, you're always going to be not moving forward because of the negativity that others can have.
Right. Yes. Some of your supposedly friends could actually be your worst enemies, because they're bringing you down instead of lifting you up. And what I try to counsel these groups in is lifting everybody up. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. We need those relationships. We need our families. The smarter we can look at life in an expectation format and say, you know, I expect my friends to boost me up. As they say, a rising tide lifts all ships. It's the same in friendships. So, we really have to look at that and say, you know, why is this person, why do I feel bad when I'm around this person? Why does this person bring me down? It's very important that, I tell my kids, I'd say, hey, don't run with the turkeys. You know, the eagles fly alone. If you want to fly high, you fly, you know, you're up there by yourself. You're up high. Occasionally you'll roost, but, you need to be out there with the right friends in right circumstances.
Exactly. So Darryl, how can people find out more about you and your book?
Thank you. My book and my profile are out on Amazon. And just look for Great Expectations Today by D. Tanner. I use my initial D. I wrote my book where it's concise enough that most of the 30, 40s and even a little younger or older can get through it pretty quickly. And but take some really good focus points out of it to live a happier and a better life.
That's fantastic. Well, Darryl, I have to thank you for being part of this today, and thank you for sharing your ideas, your concepts, and your book with us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, go to my website, dralanleika.com, and get a golden pearl a week by signing up for it. There you will be able to have a fantastic day just from the comments and the golden pearls we share. Bye for now, and have a fantastic day.
You've been listening to How to Live a Fantastic Life. Be sure and pick up a copy of Dr. Leica's book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, on Amazon.com. And you'll want to subscribe right here on this page so you don't miss a single episode. Have a fantastic day.